Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to the show today. And you know the checklist that I like to hit this time of year before Super Bowl comes around. We get the early rankings out for next season. We discuss those on the show. We did that 2 weeks ago. Then we take an early look at the incoming rookie class. We did that last week with our buddy Ray Garvin. Ray is actually out at the Senior Bowl this week, so make sure you're following him to get all the content that he's putting out there. And then I like to get a head start on free agency. And I know we've got plenty of time before that gets cooking, but some dates to know for the offseason here. Teams can start putting the franchise tag on guys February 21st. And then the deadline for the franchise tags is March 7th. And a week later, we get into that free agency negotiating window. That's March 13th to 15th, with the 15th being the official start to the new league year. And that happens at 4 p.m. Eastern, as always. So, yes, we have over a month before we really have to get into it. But you know me, I always want to be ahead on things. I also have to factor in free agency when I'm doing those early 2023 rankings anyway, which is tough because we don't know where players are going to end up. Some of them might not even reach free agency. They might sign new deals with their current club. So it's a bit of an educated guessing game at the moment when you're trying to figure out these player values. But that's why we're bringing in somebody who is well-versed in this subject. He's going to help us break it all down. So let's get him in here. Brad Spielberger, he's the salary cap analyst over at Pro Football Focus. And you can find him on Twitter at PFF_Brad. He is a first-time guest on the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. We are absolutely thrilled to have him jumping on with us. I hope he becomes one of our regulars. So, Brad, welcome to the show, man. Thank you so much for carving out some time for us. And I don't mean to put you to work right away here, but I have to admit, I'm curious what a salary cap analyst does. I think other people are too. I know you're also a contributor at Over the Cap as well. So how does someone get into the salary cap game? What is a gig like that like? Give us a feel for it.
Yeah, so first off, thanks for having me. Glad to be here. So there's obviously many different permutations to what you can do in the salary cap space. Of course, there's the player projections, the contract projections for every free agency. I got to plug this now that you asked. Our top 100 free agents is coming out this week, probably today. I don't know when people are listening, but on Thursday, and it's going to have a contract projection for every player in the top 100. And so obviously I'm cooking all those up and doing market analysis and individual player, film study, data analysis to arrive at those numbers, player comparisons from the, prior free agencies, all those things. So that's a big part of it. We also at PFF, we do, of course, work with all 32 NFL teams. We work with a handful of, we work with a lot of agencies as well, kind of helping both of those sides, arrive at a market value and work out contract negotiations to a degree. So anything you could think of that relates to, how a data company can kind of implant themselves in the middle of helping teams put a dollar value on the production value of players, I'll probably have my hands on that to a degree here at PFF.
I want to get into the top free agents, obviously, but one of the things that could affect free agency here is the new salary cap number. And the league announced that the cap is going to move to $224.8 million in 2023. That's up $16.6 million. So I guess we could start there, Brad. What impact is that new salary cap number going to have on free agency this year?
Yeah, so it's good to see about 8% growth, one of the biggest year-to-year growth percentages of the last decade since we've shifted to kind of this new structure of the salary cap in 2011. And it is about in line with expectations. You mentioned overthecap.com, which I recommend if anyone wants to learn anything about the salary cap or player contracts, go there. And we had a placeholder for 2023 of $225 million. So, we kind of had heard from some clubs that's what they were expecting it to land at. And of course, it does land right there. But it's still great news to actually get that big boosted number. We're coming out of kind of the pandemic adjusted salary cap era, so to speak. And so I think it is going to lead to, you're going to see some big deals, not only for free agents, but also some extensions are going to be very strong. It's not a particularly great free agency class. But the teams will be spending because I think this is a showing of faith in a continued growth. We have the 17th game now. We have new TV deals in place for the next decade. Obviously, the extra playoff games with the super wild card weekend or whatever they're calling it. And gambling revenue, so on and so forth. So I think you're seeing all of those revenue streams folded into this number, which should be great news for players across the league.
All right. Well, one team that just desperately needs the cap to go up here is the Buccaneers. And it would be odd if we didn't mention one of the biggest news stories of the year. It came out this week. Tom Brady, he has retired. This time it seems like it's for real. And he's not leaving the Bucs in great shape here. They're more than $50 million over the cap right now. The only quarterback that they have on their roster is going to be Kyle Trask at the moment. You know, do they try to get a stopgap QB and roll it back one more time with what's essentially a bit of an older roster? Do they tear it down and do they enter the Caleb Williams sweepstakes for 2024? There's a lot of angles that we could come at it from. I'm going to leave it open-ended for you, and I am just going to ask, where do the Bucs go now that Brady is just out of the picture here? What are they going to do?
Yeah, so, you know, I mentioned they do have an older roster, and they of course do. They brought in a lot of players, you know, Julio Jones, Akeem Hicks, a lot of veteran guys on these one-year deals trying to chase one more ring with Tom Brady. But at the same time, I also think, you know, you have Chris Godwin on a new contract, obviously guys like Tristan Wirfs, you know, on the defense, Joe Tryon-Shoyinka and Devin White and some of these younger players, you know, their secondary with Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis and Antoine Winfield at safety. So long answer short, like, I don't think they go full teardown. You know, A, because the NFC South is maybe the worst division in the NFL, sure. But B, because, you know, I think it's a disservice to still a lot of really good players that are under the age of 30. So for my guess, you know, I think they do, like you mentioned, a bridge. I don't think Garoppolo is a good fit in this offense, but, you know, maybe a different Tom Brady connection and Jacoby Brissett. I think they're maybe in the Derek Carr market. I wouldn't be shocked if maybe they consider the Aaron Rodgers market, but I'm not sure if they take a swing that big. But I don't think they're going to, you know, fully bottom out. I'm not going to let Kyle Trask be the quarterback next year. I think they'll do something to try to bring in, you know, at least a decent high floor veteran for next year.
When you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, I mean, we have the Brady decision. Now we're waiting on the Rodgers one, and he claims he's considering retirement, which that's not crazy. I mean, he's 39 years old, but there's also been a lot of speculation about a potential trade, you know, the Jets signing his former OC, Nathaniel Hackett, who we know Rodgers likes and has a good relationship with, and people just immediately made that connection. It seems like people are already kind of penciling him into the Jets. You know, there's a handful of other teams that could be interested too. It's also still possible he could roll it back in Green Bay. I want to know, what's your best guess here for what Rodgers is going to do? Is he going to retire? Are we going to see him suit up again? And then if he does suit up again, I want you to look into the crystal ball and I want you to tell us which jersey you think he's going to be wearing this year.
Yeah, so I'm not buying the retirement. You know, I think that's part of a leverage play, and also just, you know, he likes people talking about him, I think, all offseason long, it seems like. You know, and I've seen the joke going around Twitter, he's also not going to retire and be in the same, you know, Hall of Fame ceremony as Tom Brady, which I honestly do think there's probably some validity to that. But yeah, I think he'll come back. I think, you know, ignoring all those funny narratives, he also has $60 million awaiting him in just 2023 alone. So I think that is enough of a motivation to come back another year. I do think, though, this is the offseason where if he's going to get traded, it's going to happen this offseason. So I won't dive too far into the weeds here, but essentially, there's a smaller financial penalty for Green Bay if they trade him this season, as opposed to they keep him another year and then try to trade him next season. They'd have a more of a dead cap hit, you know, like you mentioned with Tom Brady leaving behind that big penalty for the Bucs. So I think he gets traded this offseason, and if I had to guess, I know there's already been the most, you know, connections and finger-pointing there, but I think the New York Jets do make a ton of sense. Let's ignore Nathaniel Hackett. It really, for me, is, you know, unlike the Indianapolis Colts, who have tried the veteran route a bunch, and I don't think they're going to go the veteran route this time, the Jets are the opposite, right? They trade up for Sam Darnold, they take Zach Wilson second overall, and both of those things totally flame out. So I think they are interested, probably more so in the veteran route. And then you have a great young defense. You have some really good young pass catchers. I think it just makes sense in so many different ways. So I'll go with the New York Jets.
Yeah, I think that's probably the safe one to go with. I mean, some of the other ones, I don't know that he would go to the Bucs for the same reason that you said about retiring this year. I don't know that he would want to follow Brady on that Bucs roster. You know, you have the Raiders and Devontae Adams there, so that could be a little bit interesting. I've seen some people mention the 49ers too, but we're going to hear about this a lot for the next few weeks, maybe the next couple months before this gets resolved. So it'll be one that we'll talk about again, I'm sure, on the show. We probably should get to the actual free agents here now. So let's stick with the quarterback topic, because there's actually a few intriguing names at the top of free agency for quarterbacks this year. Now, we'll see who gets franchise tagged or who could potentially sign a new deal before March. But Lamar Jackson, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith, maybe you want to throw Jimmy Garoppolo's name in there. I don't know if he quite belongs with like the top tier guys, but he definitely would be somebody that could step in and be a starter for people. So which of those top free agent quarterbacks do you think has the best chance to end up on another team this offseason? Because we know that some of them, maybe not Jimmy, but a lot of those guys are probably going to end up back with their original teams.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, not as fun, but I do think all three of those guys will return. It really seems like the Giants are bullish on Daniel Jones. I'm not sure I totally, you know, agree with them on that decision, but I actually think at this point he's going to sign an extension that, you know, Twitter's going to be ablaze that day when he signs a pretty significant multi-year deal, and everyone's going to say, you know, what the heck's going on here? But, you know, and then Geno and Lamar, I think, will probably get franchise tags and then maybe work out a long-term deal. I think Geno more likely to get done earlier, and Lamar, I think it's going to drag on until the end of the offseason, but I still, if I had to bet right now, would say he is a Baltimore Raven come week one next year. So it is Jimmy G for me. You know, even before Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch at their end of season press conference basically said there is no scenario where Jimmy G is on this team, I think that still was kind of the case regardless. They have so many big money players on that team. I think Nick Bosa is probably going to sign a $30 million per year extension, you know, this offseason as well. So add another non-quarterback big deal to that pile. I think it's Jimmy G. And I think there are a handful of options. Obviously, everyone mentions Las Vegas. You know, because of the connection to Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, I think maybe Carolina, if they're not able to swing a trade up or they don't like the prospects in this year's class, I'm sure they will try. But if they fail there, maybe he's, hey, let's get a stopgap in here. Frank Reich probably want to work with a guy who's a veteran who can maybe help bring a young quarterback along like a Matt Corral or, you know, a 2024 draft pick or what have you. You know, I think Garoppolo is the guy that probably is starting or has the best chance to be starting for another team next year. But hey, I think Brissett really proved himself this past year. You know, I think he played very well those first 11 games before Watson came back. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets one more kind of bridge opportunity like he's had in the past as well.
That is a very good point. And a name in Superflex and 2QB Dynasty Leagues, a name to remember and a name to maybe try to go out and get on the cheap right now before he gets one of those starting jobs if it happens. But I like that call. Let's shift to running backs. And it's notoriously tough sledding for backs in free agency. I mean, we don't see a lot of big deals given out. And this year, you just have a ton of running back talent hitting the market. And you got a pretty decent rookie class coming in too. So given the situation, what do you think the market's going to be like for some of these top free agent backs? And there's some big names at the top. You have Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs and Tony Pollard. I mean, Pollard might be in a slightly different spot. You know, he's recovering from a broken leg, so we'll see when he's going to be healthy and when he can actually clear a physical. But do you think those guys are going to get paid? What's the market going to be like for them?
Yeah, so I'll start with Saquon Barkley, and I think there's a factor here that ties into the Daniel Jones thing I just talked about that maybe is a little bit underrated by the fans, that I think they want to get a Jones deal done, which I'm not saying I agree with this rationale, but in part because every team only gets one franchise tag per offseason, and I think that they look, if they have to tag Jones, I think they're going to do it, and that will increase the odds that Barkley leaves, you know, pretty significantly. But if they do get a deal done with Jones, then I think they probably will place that franchise tag on Saquon Barkley. Again, no, I know it's not a super fun answer, but I think Jacobs may be facing the franchise tag as well at about $10.1 million. And then Pollard, you know, I think it's also on the table, but you mentioned that leg injury, and unfortunately, you know, I'm not a doctor, but it sounds like not a very good situation there that, you know, may linger into definitely free agency, but also maybe into offseason activities. So I hope he's okay and that he's allowed to still get, you know, a solid deal. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Cowboys bring him back on that same $10 million tag as well. But let's say they don't. I think Barkley and Jacobs are probably in the 13 to 14 million per year range. They're not going to reset the market above Christian McCaffrey at 16, in my opinion, but they'll get some solid deals. And then Pollard, I think, around that $10 million number. But again, the injury, you know, complicates that, you know, very significantly, trying to project a deal when you don't know a guy's health.
Well, it's not just the names at the top two for running back, right? Like, there's a second tier of free agent running backs this year who those guys probably have a better chance to end up with new teams. I mean, I want to know, who do you think's most likely to make a big impact out of that second group? And I'll rattle off some of the names here. I mean, David Montgomery and Miles Sanders, Devin Singletary, Deonta Foreman, Rashad Penny. I mean, he's flashed quite a bit. He's been injured a lot, but Penny definitely with talent there. Damian Harris, Alexander Mattison. We've been waiting for him to get out of that Dalvin Cook shadow for a long time. Kareem Hunt, another guy that we've wondered, is he going to get another starting opportunity? I'm not quite sure how much he has left in the tank here and whether he can actually be kind of the star that he was a few years back. But which name, or I mean, names, if you want to hit on a couple of them, who stands out to you in that group?
Yeah, so it's funny. I think you rattling off that list of names says a lot, right? I think it is the deepest free agent class of running back that at least I can remember, and I've been doing this for a while now. So that probably, I do think, like you said, I think almost all of these guys are going to reach the free agent market. I think probably only guy who's maybe a potential franchise tag candidate is Miles Sanders, but I would put that at, I don't know, 0.1%. you know, and I think my answer to the most impactful is probably David Montgomery. And I'll say this, he has not been super efficient in Chicago, but for me of this list, he's probably the only true three down back, right? He's a good pass protector. They trust him in that capacity. He's a good check down option. They occasionally let him, you know, line up in the slot and run some simpler routes, you know, limited route tree, but he can, you know, do more than just get check downs and pick up yards after the catch, even if that's, you know, the majority of his pass catching work. So I think he's a guy where, look, he lands in a good situation. You know, he's been on these awful Bears teams where the passing game is not a threat, so defenses, I think, are loading the box against him. The offensive line has not been very good pretty much his entire tenure. And for me, he's a guy where he could have one of these crazy touchdown variant seasons where he lands somewhere, not going to be Jamal Williams, but, you know, all of a sudden rattles off 10, 12 touchdowns, and that could boost his fantasy value, of course, in that regard. So that's my answer there. And another one I would say is, I wouldn't be completely shocked if Alexander Mattison, if Minnesota maybe considers cutting Dalvin Cook. You know, I think he is a borderline cap casualty candidate. You know, he's still Dalvin Cook, but he's not really, doesn't really have the juice, in my opinion, when you watch him. I think he has lost a step to a degree. And I think maybe they say, hey, let's go cheaper at this position. They have a ton to do on their roster. They're also in a bad cap situation and have to figure a lot of things out. So maybe that makes Mattison, you know, the cheaper but number one back for them, you know, surrounded by some of the recent, you know, draft picks they've made as well. And so that's intriguing to me if that does potentially materialize in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'd love to see him get an opportunity, whether it's Minnesota or elsewhere. I was very excited for him to potentially hit free agency. And then when you see the situation this year and all these other veteran free agents out there and the running back class coming in as in terms of rookies, then I was worried, you know, I don't know if he will get that opportunity. He'll probably end up in a committee backfield, but staying in Minnesota and them cutting Dalvin Cook, that might be his best chance at this point to get a starting job. So running back, we know, is loaded. The free agent receiver class, not so much. I mean, only two wide receivers made your top 50. You said the top 100 free agents list is coming out at PFF soon. The top 50 you already had put out a few weeks back. And, you know, that was Jacoby Myers and Juju Smith-Schuster. Those were the two guys that made it. In your mind, though, do you think they have high enough ceilings to warrant getting really big contracts in free agency? We know Juju's been a free agent, what, the last 2 years now, didn't get these big money deals, ended up going back to Pittsburgh 1 year, and then signed the one-year deal with the Chiefs last year. Do you think that Myers, Juju, are they going to benefit from the fact that there just isn't a lot of receiver talent on the market this year?
So they definitely will benefit from the fact that if you want a free agent wide receiver, there are not a lot of options. I will say real quick, you know, the new 100 does now also include Odell Beckham Jr. and Michael Thomas in the top 50. At the time, I didn't realize, or I didn't know if Odell Beckham Jr. was going to maybe sign a multi-year deal and not be a free agent, so I left him off of there. And then Michael Thomas, for people that don't know, he basically signed a reworked contract that all but guarantees he's going to be cut at the beginning of this offseason. So I think he will be available as well. But to answer the original question, look, they're not going to join the, you know, 20 million plus per year club or really get even close. But I think Myers could get maybe 15 million per year or so. He's been extremely efficient. He's a good, he is a slot guy, but he'll play about a third of his snaps out wide as well. He's a good contested catch guy, very sure-handed, rarely drops the football. But at the same time, went undrafted because he ran like a 4.6, 8.40, and I think some of those physical limitations still show up. I mentioned the contested catches, which is great, but also if you're having a ton of contested catches, it's probably because you're not separating very well. So I don't think he's going to go crazy, but I could see maybe 14, 15 million a year. And then Juju Smith-Schuster, for me, this is the hardest part of my job in this capacity, is trying to read the writing on the wall. You mentioned the last two off seasons getting a 1 year, $8 million deal, and then getting from Kansas City a 1 year, $3.5 million deal with a bunch of incentives. I think he made an additional $4 million, so almost matched that first time. But I think the injuries are a significant concern for a lot of teams. It's why that Chiefs deal was maybe the best one on the table for him. He did have a great year, but now we're going into the Super Bowl and he hurt his knee again. So, I think he could maybe get a, multi-year deal for 11, 12 million a year, but unfortunately, again, I'm not a doctor. I wish I was, but I think that is scaring off a lot of teams, every year with him at this point.
What if you had to place a chip on one of the other free agent wide receivers this year? Maybe somebody a little further down the list, other than Myers, other than Juju. If you want to say that it's OBJ, if you want to say that it's Michael Thomas, it could be them. Who do you think out of the other free agent receivers could surprise people next season? Who would you go with for that?
Yeah, I'll cheat a little bit and say Michael Thomas, but I'll get to a more legit answer. I think Paris Campbell is very interesting to me. So another guy who basically could not get on the field his first three seasons in Indianapolis, he does finally return this year and plays a full 17-game season and isn't just healthy for all 17 games, but had 9 games of 40-plus yards, like was consistently involved. He was pretty much only a slot guy, about 85% of snaps in the slot. But in years past, they did have, comfortability putting him on the outside as well, letting him be a speed element in the slot and out wide. And he had a career year despite the fact that the Colts were dead last in EPA per dropback. So, the worst passing offense, or one of the worst passing offenses, and you have, good players, good other receivers on that team, and he still produced. I think he's a guy that if he stays healthy, goes to a right fit, he's kind of giving like, Zay Jones vibes, where he gets a deal that everyone thought was crazy last offseason, a former second round pick that kind of had struggled, goes to a new place, gets a role catered to him, in a good situation, and kind of has a breakout year this year. So that would be my answer, is Paris Campbell.
Then you've come to the right place for that one. This is definitely a pro Paris Campbell podcast. We definitely want to see him succeed. We want to see him get over all the injuries and actually turn into the player that he could be. So I love that call. I'm interested to see where DJ Chark ends up. And, he missed a bunch of time this year, but when he did get healthy down the stretch, I mean, from week 12 on, he was a top 40 fantasy wide on a per game basis. And we know he already has a 1,000-yard season on his resume. I mean, if he lands in the right spot, I think the potential is there for him too. He might be like, I did my free agent index and I have him just kind of right behind those top guys. So that might be me cheating a little bit on that one. But I'm very excited to see where he ends up. And I think even the Bills, my Bills could be a spot for him. Maybe that's why I'm excited for that one. But before we wrap things up here, I have to hit on tight ends quickly. There's a few intriguing tight ends hitting free agency for sure. I mean, Dalton Schultz, Evan Ingram, Mike Gesicki, Hayden Hurst, maybe even somebody like Foster Moreau, who has been playing behind Darren Waller for a while. Maybe he gets his shot, sort of kind of like we're talking about with Alexander Mattison at running back. Maybe Moreau could finally get a shot to start somewhere. Is there a tight end who you notice in this year's free agent crop who you think could actually, really see their stock rise if they end up with a new team?
It's funny you mentioned Moreau, because like I wanted him to be that guy, and I think he had the opportunity this year with Waller missing so much time, and I don't really think he took advantage of it. So I thought he was this ascending, good young player, and then when he kind of had less of a role, I said, okay, well look, they have Darren Waller in the offense, the ball can only be spread around so much. So for me, he kind of let me down this year. I thought he was going to have this great year in a contract year and sign one of those surprisingly decent deals. I still think he will, and he's going to get a solid deal elsewhere. But I'll go with, I think this is kind of a cop out, but I think it's just a, an easy answer for me. A team that actually uses Mike Gesicki the way Mike Gesicki is supposed to be used. Again, another Jaguars comparison, but we see Evan Engram go to the Jacksonville Jaguars and they say, okay, we're not going to line you up in line and ask you to block a bunch like they did in New York. We're going to give you the ball on screens and and quick outs and quick hitters and let you use your athleticism in the open field to make the guy miss occasionally, to use your, you know, kind of speed with your size. And that's kind of Mike Gesicki as well. So, yeah, I think send him somewhere that realizes he's a big slot receiver, like he likes to call himself, and let him use his big body in the red zone, you know, on third downs, and the occasional quick out. I think he's decent in the open space to kind of rumble tumble and make some guys miss with his physicality. So that for me is the easy answer there.
Yeah, I kind of set you up for that one. I mean, I think Dalton Schultz, Evan Ingram, I think they would be best off just staying with the teams that they're with. And hopefully, fantasy-wise, they stick with those teams. I think that's going to be their best chance to produce. I think if they end up elsewhere, it could set them back a little bit. Where, yeah, Gesicki, it's definitely free Mike Gesicki, and let's see what he can do in a different role in a different offense for sure. All right, I'm calling it there. Nice and quick, a ton of information in that one. That is all for today's show. Make sure you're following Brad on Twitter at @PFF_Brad. Go check out all of his content over at PFF, including not just the top 50 free agents list, but that top 100 when it goes up soon here. And Brad, this was awesome, man. I really appreciate you doing it, and on fairly short notice too. So thank you for that. I know we mentioned a few things there, but before we let you go, anything else that you're working on that you want to direct people towards?
No, thank you so much for having me. It was a blast. Look, this free agents top 100 has been my life for the last couple of weeks. So I'm only plugging one thing and one thing only. But please, folks, check it out. We're going to have, you know, team fits and scheme fits. So, you know, if you're a fan of a certain team or you want to just look at certain positions, you know, it's not just a blanket, here's 100 guys and what I think they're worth. It's also kind of specific to a lot of different areas. So definitely take a look at that. It is my baby over at PFF.
Fantastic. Well, like I said off the top, we're very lucky to identify some, you know, true experts in the industry and to have some people on, you know, year after year. I think Brad makes that list now. Hopefully we'll be able to get him on again down the road. As for me, in terms of free agency, I mentioned the free agent index, which has been up for a couple of weeks. It's nothing too complicated. It's more like a cheat for fantasy players just to keep up on, you know, where the skill position guys are signing. And I have the players ranked based on their projected fantasy impact in 2023. I will keep that updated throughout free agency, so you can bookmark that one. I also released the February update of my 2023 redraft rankings this week. I will have the updated Dynasty Trade Value Charts up on Friday, and I'll be back next week with another episode. Maybe we'll do a mailbag, get you ready for the offseason, answer some questions there. But until then, big thanks one more time to Brad. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby, said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. I said leave on time.